All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised, we are going to continue to look more broadly at these markets with a bit more of a focus on some of the charts and individual sectors, as we are now chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the LionShare Pro website. Dana, let's start off with the broad averages here. The Dow recently moved to all-time highs. The S&P is still relatively close to all-time highs. But look, we really hear a discrepancy between some of the bears saying these markets have gone too fast. They still don't like the outlook for 2024 in terms of a recession. And they think that, quite frankly, maybe this is kind of just a blow-off top for markets. But there's some generalists that we have on, you being one, that look more at the charts and have at least some of these other guys said these markets look pretty strong right here. Look, there's no denying that the S&P has been strong. It was 6 days in a row that it was hugging that upper Bollinger Band, almost straight up through all of December and even the last maybe month and a half. Dana, what are you seeing in this market? Is this truly a strong market for the broad averages?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. As you know, as we've talked about for years, we have, you know, quantitative models that help us decipher exactly the questions you're asking. Is this a strong market? Is this a market that we want to be substantially long, or do we want to be substantially out or even short? Is this a rally that we really believe in? And the data that we track that we think is important suggests that there are legs to this rally, that it is still firm. The data that we look at is still supportive of a strong intermediate term environment for stocks, for not just the large caps and the techs, which have been leading for some time, but we've seen a lot of improvement in the broader market, in the amount of participation across the market, all cap sizes, you know, small caps, mid caps. We've seen a lot of improvement in terms of the internals, at least since, you know, over the last month or so. And that's certainly, as opposed to the start of the rally when it was mostly short covering and the large caps leading the way, this increase in participation is exactly what we want to see in order to give us more confidence that there is a durable or persistent nature to this rally. So from an intermediate term perspective, we have no reason to be looking for the exits at this point. Certainly from a short term perspective, some of the momentum and those types of readings are historically extended, but that doesn't mean anything as far as the potential for the longer term or the intermediate term. We think, obviously, from a technical perspective, you got the NASDAQ 100 and the Dow and some other averages bumping up against all-time highs. So maybe a short-term pullback or pause, especially with some of the short-term sentiment readings getting ramped up of late. But again, from an intermediate term perspective, our stuff is very strong and we don't see any signs yet that we want to be looking for the exits.
Well, Dana, let's dive in a little bit more to the improving market breadth. You've made the point on our show a number of times that generally the markets will trend with the overall direction, 70-80% of the direction of the stock market. And if you think back earlier in the year, some of the rallies we saw in the first half of the year culminating in July were really led by the mega cap tech stocks and the tech sector. And it was holding up the weighted indexes. But we were talking before this call that if you look at the even weighted indexes, or if you look at something like the IWM, the Russell 2000, and look at the small caps, the participation has really broadened out. So maybe just dive under the hood on that area of the market breadth and what you're seeing.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what I'm referring to when I'm talking about the broadening participation. And as you said, for a durable or persistent rally, you want to see that wide participation. We don't get it when you have a narrow select group of large caps moving to new highs like we saw in July, you know, June, July, even as the equal weight averages or the broader markets or the smaller cap averages are languishing or diverging to the downside. Those types of rallies are not persistent. They're not durable. Eventually, they will go the way as you mentioned, of the broader market. So, and that's what happened at the top in July. As the S&P was hitting new highs, the micro caps, for example, were just off all or 52-week lows, which is not a good sign. And again, when that happens, almost 100% of the time, the market will correct towards the broad market, at least in the near term. That's what happened just recently into the lows in October. Now, we saw, as I mentioned, it seems like a lot of the froth that was built up in July reversed itself in October. A lot of people started hedging, getting a little bit of fearful readings as far as investor sentiment. And those are the conditions that you need to spark a near-term bottom. And we saw huge short covering rally right off the bat. Didn't see a great breadth or great participation that first month of the rally. But as I mentioned, over the last month or 5 weeks or so, we've seen a resurgence in terms of breadth, internals, the broader averages, the equal weight averages, and now they are arguably leading the way, at least over the last couple of weeks. So we're seeing new highs now for the year in, like you mentioned, the equal weight averages. Mid caps hit new highs for the year. Even the small and micro caps challenging those highs from July. So that is a good sign. As I mentioned before, that's a sign of a potentially persistent rally.
So, Dana, some of the bears are pointing to a couple recent data points, one being last Friday, the biggest ETF inflows into SPY ever since its inception in 1993, as well as some fear greed indexes reaching extreme greed. So the bears are pointing to these, saying that everyone's plowed into the bull side of this boat, and that, they're saying, is never a good sign. What do you take away from some of this data that truly is showing people are more bullish on these markets?
Yeah, and you know, what's going to make people more bullish is price action, right? So price leads sentiment, and we've seen historic rally over the last couple months. So you're going to see that improvement in sentiment. And we've seen just of late some of those signs that you mentioned, those inflows in the ETFs, some very extremely low put-to-call ratios. So people are catching up as far as sentiment to the price action. So I would say from a durational standpoint, that's probably more of a short-term concern right now. As I mentioned before, at those October lows, people are extremely hedged and very defensive. Allocation has come down quite a bit. At this point, after the initial short covering rally, I think there was still a lot of cash on the sideline, at least tradable cash, and that's just starting to come in now. I don't think we're near to the extent that we were in the summer, so I think a lot of people are still underweight. Maybe we did have that rush of late, and like I mentioned, that could lead to a short-term pause or pullback like we saw yesterday, and especially as we're challenging those all-time highs in some of the major averages, it's a good spot for a pause or pullback. But I think allocations are probably still quite a bit below where they were in the middle of the summer. So that means more potential cash, more potential fuel to come into the market if we do get a dip. And that's another reason I think we do continue to see higher highs. And one reason I'm not that concerned in the intermediate term yet about the inflows and the sentiment readings getting higher. I think that's more of a short-term phenomenon or a short-term concern at least.
Well, Dana, just to that point, when you think about different time frames, sure, maybe in the short term, things have gotten a little frothy and there's a pullback. But you've noted before that the nature of the overall breadth and all of the different factors coming into a stronger market, that you can see some of these indicators stay overbought longer than people expect. And that actually, in this kind of a thing, the overbought's actually a good thing of a strong market. So maybe just break down the differences between what we saw in July and why you kind of alluded to that, but how a strong market can just keep going. And it's likely that the dips will be more shallow than people expect as more money from the sideline tries to get in on any dip.
Yeah, sure. You're exactly right. Well, when people are overly hedged or they have a very low allocation to stocks, which we saw in the latter part of October when we bottomed. The initial thing they're going to do into the rally is cover shorts. So that was the initial surge that we saw. But that still leaves them underweight, especially as stocks continue to rally. And that's really the telltale sign of an underweight condition in the market, is a market that persistently rallies without any noticeable pullback like we saw, you know, over the last couple of months. It gave investors who are underweight pretty much no chance to get in. And again, that's not a bad sign. Yes, in the near term, you could get to the point where maybe we are about right now, where in the short term we're extended, we need a breather. But on the other side of the coin, that's just a sign that investors were very underweight and looking for any little dip in which to deploy some cash. And I think there's still more cash out there to deploy. So like you mentioned, I think any dips here will continue to get bought, and I think they should get bought. As far as momentum is concerned, that's the tricky thing about like stochastic type of indicators and why some people get a little bit confused about it. Overbought readings aren't always a warning sign, especially when you're coming off of oversold signs. That first overbought sign could actually be a positive sign of momentum and indicate, you know, further gains to come. Because typically when you see the end of the road, like we saw, you know, in the summer months where it was kind of a grudging type of advance, and large caps had already been hitting highs for a while. By the end of that rally in July, you started seeing lower peaks in some of those stochastic readings, some of those momentum readings. And by that point, once you see some of those divergences, you've seen higher highs in prices, but lower highs in the momentum types of statistics, that's when you start getting concerned. It's not that first surge off of the lows. That is often what we would call, you know, a positive overbought type of a signal.
Very good point there, Dana. Let's also look at some other markets, because look, it's not just U.S. broad averages that are moving higher. There's a lot of markets that have moved up over the last couple months. Let's look at the bond market, because yields have been almost on a straight path lower. The 10-year was almost at 5% about 2 months ago. And well, now it dropped down to 3.8%. I know longer term, we've talked about it plenty of times, that you still see rates remaining higher, but what do you see in the bond market? And it seems like the rush into bonds as well.
Yeah, well, longer term, you're right. We do see yields trending higher for many years or decades to come, like we've been mentioning. But the last few shows, we talked about dropping yields after they had broken out, I guess, this summer, maybe in August. That maybe contributed to part of the pullback in equities was the breakout in yields. But after we peaked, about the time it peaked in yields around the time that stocks bottom, we foresaw, and we've been talking about it, an impending test of that breakout level in yields in the 30-year and the 10-year yields. That would be quite the development as far as financial markets are concerned, because that, especially in the 10-year, that level around the 4% and the low 4s from a historical perspective, going back to even the highs in the early 80s, was a very significant level. If we could have broken out above that level on a sustainable basis, that opens up the next major up leg towards about 6.5% probably. So this test that's going on right now with yields pulling back and testing those breakout levels is really a monumental test. And if we can hold here, then we have substantial new highs to come as far as yields are concerned. And like I mentioned, the next big level would probably be about 6.5% on the 10-year. On the flip side, if yields break back below that breakout level, then we have a false breakout in the chart, and nothing, the only thing as strong as a breakout is a false breakout to the reverse side. So if we cannot hold these levels and we fall below, that opens substantial downside, which obviously would have a lot of ramifications across financial markets. And just from a yield perspective on the 10-year, for example, which is testing, around that 390 to 4% right now. It's a key level. If we cannot hold, then that opens up downside probably to, about 3.25 and eventually maybe like 275 to the downside. And like I said, that would have a huge ripple effect across financial markets and might be a further boost to, at least in the near term, that rally that we're seeing in equities.
Well, Dana, another factor that's kind of gone in tandem with the interest rates pulling back is the U.S. dollar also pulling back. If you think back to last year, 2022, U.S. dollar had quite a move from the high 90s all the way up to 114.70. And then this year, there was that rally. It kind of double topped. A lot of people have pointed to around 106.70 to 107. That was in September and October, kind of when the markets were at their lows. Well, as the markets bounced up since October, the dollar has pulled back down and down and down. Now it's at in the 101 range. What is your outlook on the greenback?
Yeah, right now, it's been range bound. Hasn't been like currency markets often, are pretty some of the most trendy markets. It's been kind of a knee-jerk market. Not that you haven't seen a lot of higher highs, higher lows, pretty much going sideways. Right now, I would say the benefit of the doubt is now to the downside, with about that 99 level being kind of the downside target for us. That's kind of the must-hold level. If we break down below there, that opens up significant downside, I think, from there. So I'd keep an eye on basically around that 99 level on the dollar. Until then, we're pretty much just range-bound, so nothing that would spark any aggressive positioning as far as we're concerned.
Okay, but watch that 99 level. Fair enough. That was the low so far of this year in July. Let's also talk about gold, because gold has done quite well, holding right in above that $2,000 level. It made another attempted run at around $2,100, quickly reversed from there. But again, this gold chart over the last couple months has been quite strong and is very close to all-time highs. What are you seeing for gold here, Dana?
Yeah, I see, basically a consolidation right now at all-time highs. As you know, we trade the ETFs and exchange-traded products as far as gold is concerned. So you're looking at GLD, for example, pretty much consolidating right around those highs we've seen over the last couple of years. And then you backtrack to 2011, and you got the highs in the same area. So if you're a charting patternist, looks like some variation of a cup and handle, and that's a very strong chart pattern. It suggests an eventual breakout, and it suggests plenty of upside once it does break out. So I think the last few years have just been kind of digesting that rally we saw off the 2016 lows and storing up fuel for a potential more sustainable breakout once it does move above those all-time highs, which you don't want to ever anticipate a breakout, but the longer we hang around these levels, the more likely I think a breakout will be. So that's what, if we're betting, and we are with our position, we've been long, we would anticipate a breakout and more of a pretty healthy and sustainable next up leg.
Dana, just a quick follow-up regarding the gold market here. With that positive outlook for gold, I'm curious to hear what you think of the gold stock, something like GDX, that ETF, where it's broadly still kind of in the middle of a trading range that it's been in through 2022 and then in through this year, trading in a tighter range, but it too has rebounded over the last about 2 months, but it's not really close to all-time highs. So what are you seeing in the GDX chart?
Yeah, again, and that highlights the difference between the metal, the commodity itself, and the miners, the stocks, which GDX and the miners, they're going to be influenced by the metal itself and then also by whatever the stock market's doing. So you have to kind of weigh those factors out as far as analyzing the miners' charts. Right now, I would say with our optimistic view on gold, that should lift the miners for sure. At least they should trend in the same direction as gold, even if they don't go to all-time highs like gold appears to be setting up for. As long as it's trending in the right direction, you could have a nice bounce, for example, in GDX back to the highs, those COVID highs from a couple of years ago, and you're looking at a pretty good return right there, even if we don't go to all-time highs. And then, you know, if we do, that's obviously a long way to go. That'd be basically doubling right now from where we are. But I think as long as we continue to trend in the right direction, I think that is, especially if you get a breakout in gold, which from a price perspective could be very profitable, you could get a little bit more juice from the gold equities, even if they don't go to all-time highs, even if they move up, you know, towards those highs from 2020, that gives you a little bit more juice than you might get in gold itself. Obviously, again, it depends what the equity market is doing as well. But as long as it's trending in the same direction, you might get, like I said, a little bit more juice out of the gold equities.
Well, Dana, I know that you mentioned you don't have a lot of thoughts on the energy sector, but I do value your technical look at it. When you look at the oil markets, it's been in a real whipsaw. Which way do you think the propensity of odds are as far as the future for oil as we move into 2024?
Yeah, crude's kind of been like, for some reason, it kind of looks like the dollar chart, you know. We had that spike last year, and since there had a strong pullback. Since then, we've basically been range-bound. I would say we're near the lows of the year, which if we do hold that, that should provide some support right now. But I would say the benefit of the doubt right now for us would be to the downside. And if we do break the lows earlier in the year, that obviously opens up another down leg there. So, but again, being range bound, we don't have a strong opinion as far as taking any aggressive positioning in the crude market. I would say in terms of equities, energy equities, if you're looking for maybe to make an allocation somewhere that is not extended in the equity market, somewhere that is still in a overall uptrend and has pulled back and offering some entry points, I would say look in the energy space. We do have overall over the last few years, we're still seeing those higher highs, higher lows, still have plenty of upside to go. And we have pulled back to some decent support levels right now. So if you're looking to, like I said, allocate some funds in the equity market somewhere that is not overly extended right now, that might be a spot.
All right, that's going to wrap up this weekend show. I hope everybody who celebrates Christmas has a very Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays to everybody. We will be back next week with a few daily editorials, but it'll definitely be a slower week as I think it's good for everybody to take a little time away from the markets and try to reassess as we head into 2024. That seems like it will be a very interesting year with now the change in central bank policies and this more optimistic outlook, especially for markets heading into the new year. Dana, thank you so much for all your time throughout the year. I greatly appreciate your insights on the market and reading over all your content over at the Lion's Share Pro website. We will chat again in the new year. I hope you have a very happy new year, and thank you again for taking time on this weekend show.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Shad. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to both of you and all the listeners out there. Appreciate being on.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.